Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the At Large Technology Task Force Working Group call on the 14th of October 2013. On the call today, we have Devin Antaluk-Singh, Juan Manuel Rojas, Gordon Chilcott, and Glenn McKnight. We have an apology from Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, and from staff, we have myself, Natalie Perrodin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Dev.
Thank you very much, Natalie. This is David Antaluk-Singh speaking. Welcome all to everyone on this call. One of the things that we are going to be, that's on the agenda, is that Lucid has a voice over IP plugin, which is enabled for attendees to test. So how it works is that if you all look at the bottom of the screen, on the blue bar, there's an audio button. That has a link, that has an icon looking like a telephone. When you click on that, you then see you can see there's a connect via computer headset, which will then allow you to click on that, and it will it has a keypad there for you, so you can like enter, you know, you can mute yourself and like say your name and press the pound sign. So. This worked for me on my desktop computer in Google Chrome, but apparently it does use Flash. So, iPads won't be able to really make advantage of this. Just to ask any questions, Gordon, Glenn, or Juan, anybody wishes to take the floor to say what do you think about this? Or in your testing, what happened? Who wants to go first?
Dev or Gordon?
Okay, Gordon, you're the first one to be saying
something. Well,
so
I'm running this thing on Android. It comes up asking me to enable Flash, which is running, and tells me to wait for Flash to ask me for permission to use the mic. I'm still waiting. That was 15 minutes ago, so I'm not exactly certain what's going on here. I'm going to have to dig in and see if I can find out what's going on. But that's what I have so far. So far, I don't have it working, and that's why I'm using a telephone.
Okay. Very well. Let's see. Well, I think I'll probably take it in sequence here. Glenn?
Hi, everybody. I just came in late. I called in using Adigo. Did you want me to close that off and use the audio through the website?
Sure, if you wish. Yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Just to get some ideas about how it works and how it's not working. Okay, so if you can do that, great.
Okay, because you can hear me fine. That's just using a Deagle. That's a separate system. So give me a sec. I will hang up on a Deagle and call right back in.
Okay. Thanks. And if not, then come back in the regular way again. This is Dave. Juan Rojas, how did this work for you? Okay, Juan. Yeah, well, I'm not hearing you, so you may be muted. I'm star 7 to
okay.
Ah, good. We can hear you now, Juan.
Sorry, I was mute. I didn't know it. Okay. I'm using Linux OpenSUSE for this testing. This is an operating system that I am working. But I think if we have a question set. Perfectly configured, I have no troubles about it. I have no any trouble to do this because I have Flash flash login installed. Then I can join it by this and easily than Navigo than an AC.
Got cut off. Yeah.
Adobe Connect for me. Then this is very friendly also. So, no more.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Juan. This is Dave again. Okay. So we have that. So it didn't quite work with you, but it kept disconnecting, if I understood. You were also kind of muffled there, Juan, as well. So I hope I got your summary correct there. Okay. Just to confirm, I see Glenn is back in. Glenn, you just wanted to just quickly say, how did it work or it didn't work? And you may be muted. Star 7 to unmute. Okay.
Mute is off.
Ah, okay. We can hear you, Glenn.
Okay. I unmuted before, so everybody can hear me fine. I'm using the dial-up feature in the on Lucid meeting. I'm not using my phone.
Oh, okay. Well, you sound very clear, I must say, Glenn. This is Dave. So, okay.
Yeah,
it works
fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the neat thing is, one of the things is that on the desktop, anyway, you have access to the keypad, so you can mute yourself or, you know, unmute yourself, you know, star 6, star 7, that type of stuff. So one of the things that I was noticing during the testing was that this offers the possibility for when you have interpretation on, say, the monthly ALAC calls, for example, an attendee could theoretically join the English channel or the Spanish channel or the French channel. So because the way this works is that it uses the Flash plugin and then it dials the toll-free number for Digo and then plugs in the number for the channel followed by the pound sign. So, but it does require Flash, so that means it doesn't work on iOS. And according to Gordon, it still has some problems on Android. I assume it's an Android phone or tablet. I guess it doesn't matter, Gordon.
It's a tablet, Dev. This is Gordon speaking. I'm still looking around for a solution. If I can find one sometime during the meeting, you'll hear from me.
Okay. Very well. All right. Well, again, this is still very much in beta test on this. So I'll present this feedback to Lucid for, you know, further testing or refinement. Okay, so let's move ahead to the next. Oh, I'm sorry, Glenn, you have your hand raised. Do you have something else?
Sorry, I have a Samsung Android. I'll try to test it on my Android as well. But I'm not having any problems in my Windows machine.
Oh, okay, very well. This is Dave again. And indeed, when I was testing it last week with Lucid, it worked fine on Windows in Google Chrome. So, all right. Okay, let's move ahead to the next agenda item. Let's see, the review of action items. What I did, if you notice the first link, I've created like a consolidated action item from Technology Task Force meetings. If you go to that link, you should see some sort of, this is one of the macros that's included in Confluence. Confluence, has the at-large wiki has been updated to 5.1, by the way. So I was just exploring the various macros and noticed there was this specialized task list macro that allows me to, create action items. And if you click on each item, I can set a priority and assign a person to it. Okay, but let's continue with it. So going through the action items here, myself to email staff regarding the separate version of Confluence for testing users. This hasn't been done, and I really should just do it. What I was doing last week was, in fact, installing it Confluence locally on my machine. And actually, it installed. There's a Windows installer in case for anyone who wants to try this out. So there's Windows installers and Linux installers. And once you get a trial key, you can install this directly. So I was installing and actually trying to use that. But in terms of wanting to copy the existing content of the wiki, I think we do need to just really have ICANN's IT staff now provide a second installation so that and provide an admin access to that second installation, and so you can then do some more in-depth testing. I wasn't really doing it. I wasn't really pushing this action item given that the ICANN's IT staff was planning to move to this new version in the first place. So now that that has been done, then this now can become a higher priority. Next action item, Lance to look at adapting the web page template to one of the DCF workspace pages. Lance is not on the call, and I haven't heard from him, so that's not done. Lance to update the one pager with material, also outstanding. However, I should say I've been working on doing some of the stuff, some of the visuals for this. So, in fact, one of the documents, in fact, I can you can download it, but I can play it as well, and I think it should play. What I tried to do is just create an animation and a small window showing how you connect the audio in Adobe Connect. It goes to the tree settings. So it should be playing back on your Lucid Meeting screen right now. So perhaps this can be embedded as part of the of our FLV, or at least screenshot stills could be taken. Okay. Let me just stop this. Any thoughts on this animation or? Going twice.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good concept. It works fairly seamlessly. I'm watching you, and so there's no voiceover with it, right?
Any voice with it. That is correct. This is Dave. Sorry. This is just an animated GIF. So it's a GIF file. So So it should also. I'm thinking it should also play back very well on a wiki page. If I upload it that way. So, there's no, you have to click to play it type of thing as opposed to a regular video. So I'll start working on this and updating the video. I also have a video which is about roughly a gig in size because I was doing it in full resolution, walking through the steps. So what I might do is put that up on the shared, the shared repository of video, so we can perhaps somebody else can also take a look at, and if somebody wants to volunteer to help look at that, taking screenshots, to help update that one pager PDF, they'll be welcome to do that. I'll post that to the wiki, to the.
Dev, can you run it in this? I'd just like to see how quickly it'll run in this platform.
It's about a gigabyte, so I didn't really upload it as such. I can post the link. It's a Dropbox. I have it in Dropbox. I haven't uploaded it even to the copy.com shared repository yet. So, but when I'll do so and then share it afterwards. I think for documents it's limited to 20 megabytes, so it's not going to be good for large videos. But anyway, let me stop presenting this and continue with the rest of the action items. Center to Velo is the list of features the working group is checking for web conferencing services and well, data feedback. Not done. That's because I was still updating the comparison of the web conferencing solutions, and that's in the agenda. TTF and staff to create central repository. I would say this is ongoing. We're using copy.com's service to actually test this out. And again, there's a link in the agenda, so we can everybody can click on to check that out. So that, I'll leave that as ongoing. And TTF members to look at content for the ideas for improving the organization of the at-large content. Again, ongoing, and this is also on our agenda today. And then the final action item. TTF evaluate and reviewing tools regarding accessibility. Glenn, any updates on this?
What I'm trying to do is each in the, each conference tool, I'm adding comments when I evaluate it with the accessibility checker, checker. So it varies from tool to tool. Again, I know that just recently with the discussion with people at ISOC Washington, they were quite critical of WebEx as an example from the position of blind people. So I question whether or not my accessibility assessment is good enough. It'd be nice to have someone who truly is visually impaired or something else to look at this as well, because the feedback that I got secondhand was saying even though they passed the A-checker, their experience is not very good. So I'm questioning my ability to actually properly do an accessibility assessment of some of these tools.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. This is Dave. Well, I will confess that this is not also my broadest expertise. So we do need for persons within at-large to help with this. Now, I know that there is several at-large structures that are, or at least at-large structures and or at-large structure representatives that are really interested in accessibility. I know Surinush, for example, from Uralu, is her ALS I think deals with accessibility issues. And I know also on the mailing list there's also somebody from AP Rallo who is also raising these concerns. So I do think that we need to really just have a, you know, send us a private email to these persons and see if they, if a, I don't know if you want to try to organize a meeting before Buenos Aires, Glenn, but
I think so. And also I know someone with ISOC, their staff person, who's been deeply involved with accessibility issues. We can't ignore this issue, but since we're a technology task force, I think we need to put some energies into this. But all I'm saying is that since I'm not disabled myself, it would be really great to have people from that community, after we settle down on the top three. I hate to give them 100 tools to look at, but, you know, I'm waiting for us to get down to our top three and then reach out to those communities to actually, you know, volunteer to look at these tools. But you're making some good suggestions.
Okay. This is Dave. Well, just to clarify something, Glenn, remember, it's not so much for, well, looking at all the web conferencing solutions as such, it's more for looking at our existing tools. So, for example, we use Confluence for, well, as the wiki, and we also use other tools such as Adobe Connect and Lucid for conferencing and so forth. So it's really our existing tools right now. And to note whether if there's any issues right now that could be raised with ICANN's IT staff regarding you know, regarding whether it is accessible or not. In terms of for persons with a keyboard that can only use a keyboard rather than a mouse, for example, do Confluence, Adobe Connect, Lucid, do they allow navigation by keyboards only, for example? That's one point. So it's really just to contact those persons, I think. All right, so let's make this an action item then, just so we can work on it. Action item to contact persons in the at-large community that are well-versed in accessibility issues for helping to evaluate and review tools used by at-large. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, those are the action items from the previous meetings. Let's see. Glenn, I see your hand still raised. I'm sorry. Did you have something else to say?
No, but I'd like to follow up on that, on who you can identify. I wasn't aware that Sarinush was involved with accessibility issues, but because I work with her with NOMCOM. So, I think we need to make a list, because I think there's a dearth of people that are really interested in this issue. So the more names, the better.
Okay. All right, indeed. This is Dave. Yes, I believe her at-large structure itself deals with accessibility issues. Let's put it that way. I don't know if her specifically does, but her at-large structure does. So perhaps, you know, she can bring in another person from that similar at-large structure involved in this. So, but indeed, let's. I do have like a short list of two or three persons that have raised issues regarding accessibility from the various field lists. So I'll share that with you, and then we'll draft a letter to try to get them on board.
Is there not a technical person with ICANN that's responsible for this issue? I think it's a stakeholder issue, and I'm actually surprised to see such little staff interest in this topic. So I'm sure there's got to be someone assigned for this.
Well, this is Dave. I could be wrong, but I'm not aware of any specific person. That doesn't mean that there isn't one. It's just maybe that we're just simply not aware of it. I suppose you want to make that an action item too, to inquire from at-large staff whether there's a person that is looking at accessibility of ICANN tools. Or I don't know how to phrase it. Something along those lines. So, okay, next action item. Confirm with at-large staff if there's persons within ICANN dealing with accessibility. Okay, so that will be the second action item from this call regarding this accessibility issue. Okay, Glenn?
Yeah, thank you. And just an update. I can't get in using my Android phone to Lucid meeting. So I'm having failure getting into the site.
Okay, fine. Thanks, thanks, Glenn. So I guess there is a problem with Android connecting using the Flash plugin to use the VoIP over IP plugin for Lucid. Okay, good to know. All right, let's move ahead to the next agenda item. The review of criterion to evaluate web conferencing solutions. Spent some time over the weekend updating this table. So you're gonna, if you click on to the comparison of web conferencing solutions, you should see some. Well, you see it much more crowded. I've tried to complete it as much as I knew about all of the solutions. But I mean, if there's something in there that you think you need to correct or add, by all means, please do so. I don't think I need to really walk through every single one, because I think we've covered these comparisons in previous calls before. So it's really, again, if there's something in this table that just that strikes you as completely incorrect, you know, by all means say so now. But it's just really just to please review it. Look to add any more information or clarifying information to this table. So, not seeing anybody on raising any questions. Okay. Well, let's move then. Let's move ahead to the next agenda item then. One of the suggested tools was to look at Mega Meeting. We didn't have a call last week, and that was because, well, the way Mega Meeting works is that they schedule a one-on-one with that person at Mega Meeting using their conference tool. I'll just show a image from Mega Meeting, and Mega Meeting, I would say it has a lot of the features. If you go back to the comparison of web conferencing, I tried to include all of those information in the Mega Meeting column. It supports Windows, Linux, Mac. It doesn't require a Flash plugin, as far as I can tell. There's an iOS app, and there's a public and private text chat, which is in the right hand side of the screen there, as you could see in the screenshot I took. And there's a speakers queue on the upper right, sorry, upper left. My apologies, upper left, where you can raise your hand, and you can also give feedback, yes or no. So you can do, like, you know, so it does polling as well. Do you agree or disagree with, you know, what's being said? You can also give that feedback. Indirectly, you can present your documents from your desktop. So it works in a similar way that you share your screen, you share your desktop, or share application screen, and it shows up onto that main screen of Mega Meeting. So obviously it has the ability to share screens, and the full version offers a archiving of a recording of the meeting, and then it can be played back. Full voice over IP and support for webcams, as you can also see. I was still chatting with this person over a webcam. Okay. And anything else? I think that's pretty much it. In terms of allowing the management of the agenda, again, you have to if you have it shared with your desktop and you could switch that during your meeting, then that's fine. I'll try to write up a little more summary, like how I've done it for all the previous web conferencing solutions. But that's how it is. Okay. Let's see. Anything else? Let me just stop presenting this then, so I can go back to the agenda. I think that's about all the key features into that. So, next steps. Do you want to try to review another web conferencing solution before Buenos Aires? I think Glenn McKnight had in his. Well, not his review, but the review he posted on last week, it mentioned another conferencing solution called, if I understood it correctly. On-stream media, on-stream infinite conferencing was the other highly recommended conferencing solution, so we can take a look at that one in time for next week's call. which could be a call just dedicated to looking at that solution.
I will not be on the call. I'm at the Global Humanitarian Conference in San Jose next Monday.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Well, do you want to? Well, this is the question for more for the group. Would persons be willing to do a call next week for Monday?
Dev, this is Gordon.
So just to test the web conferencing solutions. Gordon, Juan?
Yeah, I could on the 21st, I can probably make it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's try to do this one then. So I'll work with staff to organize to look at the Infinite Conferencing from OnStream as the next conferencing solution to test on the 21st. Okay. Well, let's proceed again to the next agenda item. Oh, sorry. Right. Okay. Next agenda item was the ideas for improving the organization of at-large content. So, as we discussed, we're going to focus primarily on at-large working groups before we look at any of the other things such as the relos and the ELAC itself. So, what I've done here is also I've done two. If you open the two links here, I've broken down this topic into two sections. One is the tools used to organize content created by at-large working groups, and that hasn't really changed from the previous meeting. But what I have done is regarding the issues noted regarding content, it's now been updated to issues noted regarding content of at-large working groups and recommendations. So I've now started to document an issue and then come up with a recommendation. So if you look at the first, it's presented as a table. So if, for example, if you look at the first issue, it's difficult to determine what is the latest activity of the working group when viewing the wiki page of a working group, especially for observers. So that was the issue. And then one of the recommendations that I'm putting in here is that there should be a latest update section on the main wiki page of a working group. Confluent to Confluence Wiki supports the concept of labels, and the labels are the user-defined tags assigned to pages. And given that the labels are user-defined and for the importance of consistency, we need to have this on the labels documented on a wiki page, and that each working group should have its own label. And then what we can then do is that we can then track activity according to pages with a certain label. So then and then that marker could then be included in the latest activity, for example. That was just one issue I was just documenting, but this is the idea I want to ask all of you to try to fill out in terms of noting the issues and then coming up with a recommendation. Any thoughts on how this should work? I see Gordon, go ahead.
Thanks, Dev. Gordon Sholkoff for the record. I kind of went back. I had a very quick look at this on Friday and went back to the 30,000-foot level. The working group page structure that was suggested some while ago is basically divided in six or maybe seven pieces, one of which is basically the kind of title page for the working group, which describes what it does and why, and maybe an advertisement for outreach. And the others just a review or member list, meeting pages, reports, documents, resources, and workspace. And that raised a couple of questions that kept nagging at me. One of these questions is, what exactly appears in documents? What exactly appears in resources? I have a suggestion of my own, and I'll probably jot it down somewhere. But it came down to this question of, what exactly is a workspace? And once I had for myself at least the definition of workspace, everything else seemed to fall into place. It's really a little simpler than we have been than we have been trying to define earlier on. As my view of documents is that every working group is designed to produce some sort of deliverable. And being ICANN, that deliverable, for the most part, is documents. And that's where the delivered documents appear.
Mm-hmm.
And they are created in workspace. The workspace is a sandbox. And there is another page for resources, which I laid down as a library.
Okay.
But once that structure goes in place, and it came to me because I'm dealing with a similar problem for somebody else, once that structure came into place, what was needed from them is basically best practices. Once the best practices are kind of understood, a lot of things start to fall into place. And that's where I left off at about 11:30 Friday night.
Okay. Thanks, Gordon. This is Dave. Indeed, if you note in that table there, I did include that issue that there's an unclear rationale for the use of separate documents link, and then there's a resources link, especially for those working groups with workspaces. And I see you kind of like, well, touched on that in your summary earlier. So, but I admit I'm not 100% certain as to what is the proper recommendation. I think what you're seeing, if I understand you correctly, is that things like documents and resources should be folded under the workspace, if I understood you correctly, Gordon.
Dev Gordon again. Not quite.
Okay.
The works, I'm going to use, I'll borrow another term. I don't want to confuse us too much, but workspace is a collaboration space. That's where Glenn, you, I, Lance, and whoever sit there and argue about what's going to go into a document, and we try out various drafts. Once we're satisfied with a draft and we're ready to present it either to the rest of our work group or to the great world outside, that draft is promoted into the documents workspace, which is different, which is separate.
Okay.
That is the place that is advertised as being the place where you can find our products. The evaluation table would be a great example here. I know that we're working on it all the time, but pretty much we think very carefully about what we're going to say before we throw it in there, and that's where it is. So if Sella or somebody wants to know that what we looked at and what we found, she can go to the Technology Task Force documents place.
Okay.
There it is. But the stuff that we are working on that isn't ready yet is played with in workspace, and basically it keeps the document space uncluttered except for things that we are able to say with some confidence. The resources I basically said was a library, and that's where we put links to documents that we're using while we're playing around in the workspace.
Okay, this is Dave. Thanks, Gordon. Okay. Well, in a sense, then, the document force becomes like a record of like statements produced by the working group or reports done by the working group. Yes, I understand that explanation. I don't know if that word documents needs to be changed to something else, though, to say statements of it and reports, or something like that. But okay, Glenn, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, this is interesting. Can you hear me okay?
Glenn, I can hear you, yes.
Okay.
Just one side, just to interrupt. There seems to be an echo somewhere, though.
Okay, how's that now?
Okay, testing, 1, 2, 3. I'm still hearing an echo, but not from you. So Glenn, go
okay.
ahead while it's sorted out in the background.
Okay, because there might be an echo, I'll try to speak relatively slow. I think this working group needs to boil down what we find, we kick around, we test in the sandbox, and come down to some tangible ideas or suggestions or recommendations to the rest of the ICANN community that such as this issue of accessibility, such as, you know, using QR codes or using, you know, various different web conferencing tools. But we really need to think of the end report rather than just a lot of words. A very simple diagram, a simple set of 10 things or the 10 top list of things that we need to think of. And it some of it could be done immediately and some of it could be long term. But we're functioning like a Senate, sort of a sober thought second group that we can. Now this group, this suggestion needs to sort of tie in things like what the new metrics group is doing, and other elements in the ecospace that we need to be considerate of. So my view is I think we need to come down with a fairly short, concise set of recommendations. That's my opinion.
Okay. This is Dave. Thanks, Glenn. I agree with you. That's why I wanted to, that's why I have it as a tabular form so that we could be more concise in identifying the issue and then coming up with a specific recommendation to address the issue. That's why I consolidated it rather than trying to have it as a free form. Here's some of the issues we discuss, and then have a separate section on recommendations. Because I realized that, you know what, trying to do that will be, you'll get a very long report and not potentially an easy, tangible, okay, this is what needs to be done. And, of course, the devil's in the details as to exactly which is done. That's the first one, the issues noted regarding content of at-large working groups and recommendations.
Thank you. I'm looking at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right. That's easy to work with. I would just, identify anytime there's an issue and recommendation, we should be aware of issues that could be barriers. So we can identify and we can suggest all kinds of stuff, but some things are easy to implement, some things are not. So I think I don't know how far you want to go on this, guys, but I think issuing recommendations is not a bad way to start. But we could have some footnotes associated with each item and then elaborate a little bit in a footnote. But the core 10 things, I think, are easy to digest. Fairly short.
Yeah. This is Dave. Okay. Yes, this is Dave. I agreed. And what you can do, if there's an issue that needs more clarification, obviously what we can do is just add a subpage under this to talk about that various issue. If they need to provide more details or screenshots or whatever, if you need to clarify what the issue is or give more detail into that issue. But again, that's why I wanted to do it in a tabular form, because I didn't want a long flowing report. Like, these were the top 5 issues that we thought were the most serious and the ones that could have the greatest short-term solutions and long versus long-term solutions. You know? So I would invite all of you to really take a look at that, the issues noted regarding content of at-large working groups. At least start documenting the various issues. And then we can then look to merge some of these issues and then figure out what the recommendations are.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Excellent. Nobody else in the queue? Okay, well, let's move ahead to the next agenda item. Okay, well, most of these items are things that we already covered before, but I didn't want to drop them completely from the agenda. Like I said, we looked at the how at-large can use the calendar, and we did a calendar wiki page, which I think is pretty much complete, and I just left it in here in case anybody else has any options or queries or anything of that sort. Anyone? And if not, what I will do then do is actually post this to the wider Relos and to the possibly even to the our Facebook and Twitter and our Twitter account as to pointing to this page. Once, anybody has any queries, concerns with the page, with the calendar page?
No.
Okay.
Dev, Gordon.
Gordon, go ahead.
Yeah, I rose a concern last meeting on this issue about possible personal calendar clutter. I tried it out on my own Google Calendar and discovered that I can, with a simple button click, remove the entries from the various calendars that I'm strapped to, so that I can actually look at ICANN and nothing else. I can look at DJ-Lug and nothing else and a couple of others. It's something I didn't notice before. However, calendar clutter is no longer an issue, except that I can now look at my entire month. Yeah, so it does work.
Yeah, this is Dave. Yes, indeed, Google Calendar is quite nice. That you have the calendars on the left-hand side, and you could say, well, I want to see this one only or that one only, and you can change the color in which the text for those calendars appear. So you can see different color-coded. So you have that color-coded. You can color code your calendars when you're trying to, if you want to try to see everything. So to better distinguish what meeting item is for what calendar. Okay, great. All right.
How is this viewable on a mobile? Out of curiosity.
How does the? Sorry, the question is.
Yes. I guess it gets back to accessibility and color. And number two is how good is this to view on a mobile device?
Okay, well, this is Dave. On the calendar page itself, I talked about how there are various links there as to how to get this working on iOS and how to do it on Android. To do it with Android, the easiest way is to, well, use Google Calendar and then sync your Google Calendars with your Android device so that it appears in your Android device. I don't have direct experience on the Android platform as such. On iOS, it does work. I could see my... Well, I don't know how to put it. You can sort it. You can view it by day, month, year, and or as an agenda view where you could just scroll through all the various meetings in a day. So,
Dev, it's Gordon.
In terms of the actual thing, well, Gordon, and I'm sure you are, or Glenn, since you have a Samsung phone, Android phone, you could try it out. The link is in that calendar, on the calendar page, as to how it works, how you sync your Android devices with Google Calendar. And there's different ways of doing it for version 3 of Android, version 2.3 of Android, for tablets and for phones. It's quite detailed how Google has done it.
Yeah, I'll try it on my iPad as well.
Sure. All right. Great. All right. Again, the shared repository of video and pictures to be used by at-large members. As again, I didn't want to take this off completely. And there's a link there just to demonstrate. I think this was the same link from last time, that if you click on that, and because it's publicly shared, everybody will be able to see the two folders, and I could add, and I or Glenn can add folders to this, and so everybody will be able to see this and click on it and then download the files. So I think Glenn uploaded something from the Durban meeting. I just put up a text file for the Mexico City meeting, which was the first summit, which has a link to where the videos are stored on the ICANN's website. So, and again, I'm thinking that this copy.com's system works quite well. So, any thoughts or questions? Going once, going twice, going twice. Okay. All right. Like I said, Juan, go ahead.
I was checking the copy.com, and it is for free. I mean, we don't need a register or something to download files, and just work on only for video pictures or for another kind of files too. That's my question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Juan. This is Dave. Yes, the copy.com is for you get 15 gigabytes free storage as a free user, and you can pay for additional storage. You can read up all about it on copy.com's website. And one of the features of the copy.com is that you can make folders public, like that link that's in the agenda, in the agenda, sorry. So, and persons can put videos and files. So, in fact, if you click on to the Durban, South Africa, when you click on the MP4, in fact, it will start streaming from there. And that's a fairly big file. I've used it also to make available a 2 gigabyte file. So file size doesn't seem to be as critical as issue as with other file sharing solutions such as Dropbox or Box.com, for example. So when you click on to the MP4, there's a link there to say download. Or if you have a copy.com account, you can then put it in your copy.com folders. And you can download clients for Windows, Mac, and Linux, just to do the, syncing to your various devices. So hope that answers the question, Juan. Okay, let's see. All right. Let's go ahead to the next agenda item, at-large social media strategy. One of the things that we were supposed to be looking at is developing templates for the various content or emails that come out from the ELAC announce list. So I noticed that nobody has really made any comments on this. So I don't know whether to defer this I won't say defer it, but our main focus does seem to be the one on the organizing of at-large content for relates to working groups. So far, the posts are being shared on Facebook and Twitter, but again, there's a link there. We've gone from Refine Wiki, which talks about this the blog plugin, which. But it has built it turns the Confluence Wiki page into a blog platform, and it actually makes it easier to share content to other social networks. So it's built in directly as part of the Confluence plugin. So you don't have to rely on third-party solutions as we are using now, which is Deliverit or IFT. The IFTTT tool and so forth that we are using right now. So if this plugin was installed, then this might be make it much more easier to use. So it's just something that, if we had the separate wiki space to have our sandbox playground, we can then install this plugin and try it out. And see how well it works or not work. So that's another reason for having our separate Confluence Wiki installation. So you can try out such plugins without, breaking the existing wiki. Okay. Not seeing any hands raised. So we can move ahead to the next agenda item. Evaluation of machine translation website tools. This item on the agenda was related to whether either the Microsoft translation tool or the Google translation tool should be installed on the ICANN's at large website. It was noted that I believe it was the CCNSO's website. And I'll find the CCNSO's website right now. CCNSO. Right. If you look at the CCNSO's website, there's a Microsoft Translator tool where all of the content is English. The Microsoft Translator plugin embedded on the website allows it to be translated into multiple languages using the Microsoft's machine translation tools. And the question was raised, well, if we were to put the translation plugin on the ICANN's at large website, should we use the Microsoft Translator tool or use the Google translation tool? The feedback was that for French speaking speakers, that it seemed that the French translation using Google Translate worked better than the Microsoft tool. And well, perhaps one, maybe you can give some insight onto this. What are your thoughts? I don't know if you have ever used any of these translation tools for a website. Have you used any? And if so, which one did you prefer? And if not, then what are your thoughts on it? Juan, you may be muted.
I never have used Microsoft Translator to translate a website. Sometimes I use Google Translator to do that, but if we can to do a difference between them, between those translation websites, maybe we can do that with more time, because I just translate CCNSO page, website page, and the translate books seems to be good, but maybe reviewing more deeply, we can find some issues or some things to do that. To discover the difference between them. And I think this maybe is more for more time, because right now it seems to be fine, And I think that Google has the good things, and Google and Microsoft has these good things. But just right now, I can say what is better for me,
Okay. Well, this is Dave. Thanks, Juan. Debbie should make this an action item. You and myself do some tests, further tests of the Microsoft Translation tool and the Google Translation tool on websites, and see how which one works better. Strictly speaking, though, this is Dave again. But I should say we will do the testing and see which one is the better one. Strictly speaking, from a technology standpoint, Given that the ICANN's, I assume the ICANN's IT staff installed the Microsoft plugin, I'm not sure whether they would want to have multiple different plugins for different websites. So in a sense that if they've picked the Microsoft plugin and they are working, they have, you know, they have that under their support list already, it might be common sense to just simply use the Microsoft tool so that there's one plugin they have to maintain, monitor for security updates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, but all right, so let's look at the translation tools, the website translation tools in more detail. Okay? Okay, well, just about a few minutes, 4 minutes beyond the top of the hour. So I think that if there's no any other business, we can... Any issues or questions anyone wants to raise? Going once, going twice, going twice. Okay, well, in that case, I'd like to thank... Oh, I'm sorry. Juan, you have a question or comment? Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. This is Juan. I think that maybe it's related with 8 points, maybe, but this is not a website tool, but this is an enabling list tool. I'm talking about a testing tool, a bot enabling list. Maybe we can share with the CTF about this testing, because I think that fix here just to the group know about it, no? That's all. The email list bug for salvation list, you know? Thank you.
Thanks, Juan. Unfortunately, you were kind of muffled there. Unfortunately, I didn't quite fully hear you. So actually, if you want to just quickly type that into the chat for the record. If I understand you correctly, it was more confirming that you will work on the website translation tools. But I didn't get the second part. I didn't get the second part of what you were saying. So if you could type that into the chat, and of course we are on Skype, so we could we can communicate via Skype that way. Okay. Okay. I see okay from Juan on the chat. What's this about the Google Calendar? Okay, Gordon, sorry, it's Glenn, I believe it just made the comment about syncing the Google Calendar app. Do you want to just identify what was the problem?
I follow the instructions in my Google Calendar. I can look at my Google email and my calendar, and you can sync your device, and you set it to your menus, but I'm not being able to sync it for some reason, which is, I'm not sure why that's the case, because I'm seeing my normal Google Calendar, but I'm not getting the additional calendars, which is the at-large. So I'm not sure if other people have challenges using their mobile, but I suspect we got to get this working right, because most people are going to be checking their mobile for events and location rooms. This is an important tool since we don't have another ICANN app to use. So the Google Calendar is going to be very important. So I'm just curious, has anyone else been able to sync their mobile device for the Google Calendar?
This is Dave. Well, Gordon will probably be the best person to answer that.
Gordon, Dev. I'm just checking into that now. I'm seeing some things on here, but not all. So something very strange is happening. I'm going to have to work on this a little bit more and maybe get back to it.
Okay, well, Gordon, Glenn, let's take this off. Well, we'll work on this off list. Off the call.
Yeah, because Yeah, because I'm looking at all the instructions in Google for synchronizing and displaying your calendars. We'll need to get the steps clear and some screen captures, guys, because I think this is going to be a very important tool in Argentina.
Okay. All right. So let's work on seeing how we can get, clarifying the instructions for synchronizing Google Calendar on Android devices. An action item assigned to myself, Glenn, and Gordon on that. Juan notes that it works for him. So maybe there's something in the steps that we're not doing correctly. But all right, so let's take that up, during the week. Okay, any other business? Okay, in which case, and given that it's now 9 minutes past the hour, thank you all for joining the call. This call is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.